April 22nd, 2011. This is Steve Gerwick on Gerwick.net. At this time, it's a pleasure to welcome to Gerwick.net one of the prettiest divas we've seen in recent years in World Wrestling Entertainment, a former OVW star that came up with Deuce and Domino, became the World Tag Team Champions. Tonight, I give you former WWE diva, Cherry. How you doing tonight, Cherry?
I'm good, Steve. How you doing?
Excellent. No problem. I guess for this interview, should I call you Cherry or should I call you Kara Slice?
Oh, don't call me Kara Slice. Don't call me Kara Slice. That's funny.
Well, let's update the fans. Since you left World Wrestling Entertainment in January, or actually it was in 2008 when you were released, what have you been up to, and are you somewhat active or doing anything in terms of professional wrestling?
I took some time off right off of being released. I did some indie shows and some appearances and conventions. But I decided to take some time away from the wrestling business for personal reasons. Decided to go back to school, and I was living in New Jersey, where I'm originally from, and decided to move down to Tampa to move in with some friends and start a new life here. I wanted to kind of start over. So I've been down here and just kind of gotten myself in, you know, finished school and got myself in a couple of adventures. So I'm just kind of working from there. I'm not currently active wrestling-wise or doing any conventions right now, but it's definitely something that I'm still interested in. I watch wrestling all the time. It's still in my blood and on my mind every day. So just not currently active with it right now.
When you watch the current shows, when you watch WWE and TNA, because you follow it, what's your thoughts on the product, you know, where the storylines are going, and do you find it kind of engaging, and does it keep your interest up, and, you know, kind of your overall thoughts on what's currently going on in professional wrestling?
It's really interesting to me. I still watch it all. I DVR it if I'm working, and I don't have time to watch it, and definitely stay on top of it. I think I'm especially intrigued by the girls and what they're doing, and just kind of really excited to still see my friends kind of working really, really hard and seeing who's coming up next and how creative they can get. So I truly enjoy Natalya as the women's, as a Divas champion, as the Divas champion. That was a lot of fun, and I definitely watched TNA, and they have a lot more time allotted to the women, which is good, you know, get a lot more exposure. So not that I don't watch the guys, but I'm a little partial to what the women are doing and whose butts are kicking.
Now, we were just talking offline because I was asking you if you kept up with the current season of Tough Enough. Obviously, Steve Austin is the head trainer. What do you think of the current season, and what do you think of the concept of the show to find new WWE talent?
I really enjoy it. Being done so well, the production on it is just outstanding. I'm really enjoying it. It's intriguing to watch because for me, it seems like a almost fast forward of paying your dues. A lot of the stuff that those guys do, a lot, especially the drills I've done before, so I know how hard it is. I think that they do need to know how to pay their dues, and you need to have a strong will to be in this business, and I think that's the only way you're going to do it. I've trained with Bill DeMott. He's a tough guy, and you need to know that you can get through a Bill DeMott, you know, workout and training session. I think it's a great opportunity for them because most of these people don't know how hard it is to be on the road and be an entertainer like that and to be able to do it for 300 days a year. I really enjoy it. I think it's a great process. I think guys on there are doing a great job, and I love the fact that it is a tough enough. You need to be tough enough to get through that stuff. I've never had to do a competition where a dog chased me down, but I've, you know, had to run the ropes for 3 minutes straight, and, you know, had to do some of these drills that they're doing, and it is rough. It is a big time rough competition. So I really enjoy it. I really enjoy it.
Yeah, I don't think some people really appreciate the ability to run the ropes. I mean, it's just something you kind of just take for granted, but you know, just talk about, you know, running the ropes for 3 minutes, it's something that you've done, you know, in training, but it's not as easy as it looks.
Not at all. You can do all, you can work out in the gym 7 days a week, 2-3 hours if you want. There's no kind of conditioning unless you get in that ring and you work out in that ring. You can't prepare for that. You have to get in that ring and you have to do it. Otherwise, you won't survive. It's a tough situation. Not many people can, it looks easy. I guarantee, I'll give anybody a minute, run it for a minute, and it's pretty tough. So I remember those days, and I don't envy them right now. I'll tell you that right now.
When you are currently watching the show, is there somebody that kind of sticks out that you kind of handicap as maybe the guy or girl who's going to end up winning this competition?
The Luke guy, he's really, really good. I know he's had some indie background on that. He's probably the one that's going to win it. Doing a really good, he's gotten a lot of points, it looks like. I think that Booker and Bill and Trish and Steve Austin are definitely pretty high on him. And he's doing a really good job, so.
Now, Tough Enough was a show they did, you know, many years ago, and they kind of brought it back. And another one they used to do was the Diva Search competition. What's your thoughts on the Diva Search? Because obviously you've trained and came up through training schools and OVW, and you made it to the big time. What do you think of the concept of the Diva Search to find new girls for professional wrestling?
I think it's always good for Vince to kind of look at every avenue to kind of find him the next star. And I thought they were supposed to be doing it again, but I heard that when I was there too. Anything that's going to bring entertainment to the show, I completely understand why Vince does that kind of stuff. So, you know, you bring in the ratings, and that's what people want to see. So bring in the Diva Search if that's what's going to do it. I mean, we've had some great girls come out of the Diva Search, so I can't, you know, you can't knock it at all. You know, there are some, you know, girls that have done, you know, some through competitions or what have you, and been a great addition to the roster, you know, just as tough as some of the girls that have came from the independent circuit. So it just really depends on where you're going to find that person that has that drive and that will. You know, and that doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to come from the Indies, you know. You could be, you know, a mother of two housewife. That could be just as tough as somebody who's been on the independents for 9 years. So whatever's going to be entertaining, you're going to get that factor that someone can provide that entertainment to the show and withstand some of that tough, grueling competition. Go for it.
What's your thoughts on TNA and watching TNA?
I like TNA. It's a great product. It's definitely an alternative. I think it's fun to watch because right now they have a little bit more open leeway for, I guess you could say gimmicks, I don't like using the term, but they just have so much more characters to things, whereas WWE, it's a little bit more real-life kind of characters. I mean, Deuce Domino and Cherry were characters as opposed to who they have now. I mean, they just have, you know, regular people on there that are just really talented, as opposed to having people like back in the day, you know, that had certain personas to them. So I really enjoy TNA. There's definitely a wide variety of talent on there, and they definitely provide different aspects of it. So it's a really great alternative. I definitely watch it every week.
Are you a fan of the current girls they currently have on the roster, Rosita, Sarita, Angelina Love, Velvet Sky? I know some of them that you probably have actually worked with before, or at least know.
It is fun to, like I said, it's fun to watch friends.
Yeah.
I've never worked with Sarita or Rosita, but a majority of them I have, and it's really great to see them all working together and providing that for the women's division. So I have
obviously Victoria and Tara, obviously you know her and worked with her before.
Yeah, and yeah. I've known Nikki for the longest time. I worked with Nikki a lot on the independents before either one of us was brought up to any specific level. So, because she moved on to TNA really early and then got signed to WWE. So I've probably known her the longest out of the girls over there. So I watched definitely.
Yeah, Alexis LaRie, that name was on the independent circuit for quite a while before she got signed to to go to WWE. Actually, she was actually in TNA first and then went to WWE and now back to TNA. So, when you departed from WWE, obviously the buzz is always, you know, if you get released from one company, what about the other company? Did you get any feelers from TNA, or did you kind of feel them out and see what they might have any interest in using you?
I did. I had a couple of people contact me, so that people were looking for my information. I contacted Terry Taylor. We spoke a few times. As most people know, you just don't come off the WWE TV, do your 90-day no-compete, and then just jump on other TV, especially at the level that I was at. You know, I wasn't a top girl per se. And then it depends on what kind of spot they have. You know, people have to wait for when the right opportunity is. So I did speak to them, and they were very, very nice to me and seemed very interested. It just ended up not being the right time for me. So, you know, thankfully other people did have an opportunity, which is great for them. You know, Winter's over there now, and Tara was over there, and Nikki, and great. They provide a great entertainment to the show.
Let's go all the way back to the beginning of your career. I know you were a big wrestling fan growing up. You're telling about some of the your favorite matches, some of your favorite wrestlers, Ricky the Dragon, Steamboat, Randy Savage, obviously Phantom Miss Elizabeth back in the day as well. Talk about getting into the business. And another interesting aspect that we were just talking about kind of offline is you are a big fan, a big student of the game, and a lot of the newer people, and we're seeing this on Tough Enough, that a lot of the new people breaking in may not know a lot about professional wrestling. They don't know about the history of professional wrestling. So obviously you had that, you grew up watching professional wrestling. You were telling me a story about Baby Doll, that some of the girls didn't know who Baby Doll was. And obviously if you grew up watching the Crockett's, she was there. She was one of the first original divas. So kind of talk about, you know, your background breaking into the business, and then your thoughts on some of the newer people that break into the business that maybe don't know as much about professional wrestling as you did.
Yeah. I could start from the very, very beginning. I was working at a cellular wholesaler, and I became friends with this girl whose uncle was an independent promoter. And I had seen signs around town as far as, you know, independent shows, you know, Jimmy Superfly Smith is going to be there. And she's like, well, why don't you talk to my uncle? He knows a lot about wrestling, and got to chatting with him. His name is Carmine Sabia. And he's like, wow, you really know a lot about wrestling. And he's like, why don't you come to one of my wrestling shows? And I guess he was putting on an independent show around the area. And he had contacted Kevin Knight of IWF, and it said, you know, he's sending me down there. And I was just coming to kind of sit in the crowd and just spoke with them, with Kevin, about stuff. And I, you know, had no intention of getting involved. I was really interested in just wrestling. And they kind of just took me from there and like, well, why don't you come back to the next show and, you know, be a ring girl? And I would sit at the ringside and take someone's jacket to the back. And they just kind of started explaining things to me. And it was really, really exciting. And just kind of networked through there and just met a lot of people. And they would take me to independent shows. I would do IWF. I would go to NWA shows. I would do things like that and start networking until I met Gino Caruso of ECPW. And he was like, well, why don't you come train at my school? And I kind of started out slow like that. Ironically, I don't think many people know this, but Gino wanted me to come up with a name. And I couldn't, for the life of me, think of a fake name. And we came up with the name Star, which I don't think many people know. I wasn't really keen on it. I didn't really want to get a fake name, but I kind of worked the Star for about a month and then kind of dropped it because it was kind of stupid, and then just kind of went by Miss Kara and just went on with my wrestling training. I was just valeting for a very long time while I was learning how to wrestle, and met Julio De Niro, or Fantastico as he was back then, and on a show, and him and I became friends, and he would take me to some wrestling shows with him, and I would travel with him, and I guess you want to call him Joey Mercury now, but then he was Joey Matthews and Christian York, and they were all friends, and we would do independent shows together, and on a car ride, Julio's like, we need a fake name for you, and I was like, okay. He's like, something like a Spice Girl or something. And I'm like, okay. And I just kind of blew it off. Like, I wasn't I figured if I was, if I ever going to make it, somebody was going to give me one. So I didn't want to put, didn't find anything I really liked. And we were at a Northeast Wrestling independent show, and his music hits, and they're announcing him, and he said, led to the ring by Kara Slice, and he just starts laughing, and it was a total joke. And I was like, what did you do? And he think, he's just laughing all the way out to the ring, and I'm just like, I don't know if there's a video of that, but I'm yelling at him. I'm like, what did you do all the way to the ring? I'm like, well, I hate that name. That's awful. And ever since that, it's just stuck. So I was Kara Slice for God knows how long until I ended up going to Louisville, which is, that was a lot of fun. My friend Danny Inferno, I managed him on the independents. He had moved to Louisville to pursue a contract, and he told me about this tryout training camp that Louisville was having. OVW, I should call it. OVW was having a tryout training camp, and he's like, just try it out, just send your application in. And I had said, okay, well, I'll send my application in. No big deal. I'm going to get accepted. And I got accepted, and I was like, oh my gosh, I got accepted. Okay, well, it's a 3-day training camp. Who cares? I'll go for the weekend. No big deal. I'll just go down there, do what I do down here. No big deal. They go down there, and I'm one of two girls and 50 guys, and I'm like, oh my gosh, like, really blew my mind, and ended up doing this the weekend and had a great time, and called Danny Davis like that Monday when I got home and said, you know, thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed my time and met a lot of, you know, met Rip Rogers, met Dr. Tom, met Danny for the first time and had a great time. And he calls me back a week later and personally and says, you know, we really like what you did. We think you have great potential, and if you want to come down and join OVW, we'd be glad to have you, but you need to understand that you're coming down here for OVW, you're not coming down for WWE, and you're doing it on your own dime, but we're willing to have you. We think that you have great potential. And immediately when he said that to me, I just knew I wanted to move there. And I was living with my boyfriend at the time. We'd been living together for 3 years. And I just up and left. he was a wrestler, too, and he wasn't able to come with me and ended up going down there. And luckily, Danny Inferno was still there, and the apartment across the hall from him was available. He was living with his girlfriend at the time. So it was a comfort zone to know that I was moving down next to a friend, and it was a gentleman that I knew, like, I felt safe with. So if anything happened, you know, I'm moving completely away from my friends and family to go down to Kentucky. And I had never gone away to school, so this was my first time really out on my own. And, you know, Danny was kind enough to kind of be there for me and help me out. So went to Louisville and started Rip Rogers' class, and he's a tough cookie. My goodness, Rip Rogers, go through his training and you will truly understand wrestling. So I did that, and by some miraculous feats, I was able to get signed in 4 months thanks to Jimmy Jr. I had known Jimmy and Cliff, actually, ironically, from the Northeast area in wrestling. And Jimmy and I actually started training in ECPW the exact same month and year as each other, which was weird. So we knew each other because he had lived with his dad in New Jersey. And, you know, Jimmy had gone off with his family to, he was living in Las Vegas for a little while, did some stuff out there. So we ended up back there, and Jimmy and Cliff had come up with this, I guess they were calling it the throwbacks at the time, this 50s gimmick, and they needed something else to spice it up, and Cliff had said, well, why don't we get a girl, and why don't we put her on roller skates? It's never been done in wrestling. So Jimmy loved it, and they, you know, had been doing this kind of, these characters for a little while in OVW, and they kind of looked around in OVW to see what kind of girl would fit, and Jimmy knew me and my reputation as far as being very professional and on time and just getting stuff done and being a hard worker. And he came to me because I was doing the ring girl on the TV shows on Wednesday night and said, look, this is what Cliff and I are doing. And we wanted to add a girl, and, you know, we wanted to ask if you wanted to do it. And I was like, heck yeah. But he's like, I don't know what she looks like. We don't have a name for her, but she needs to be vintage and she needs to be in roller skates. And then he popped the big part of the question was, can you get this together in a week because the office is coming down? Because they would come and evaluate the talent. And I was like, oh, okay. I had no clue what she was going to look like. I had no clue what they wanted. And they showed me some of the promos they were doing and just kind of their what they had been evolving in. And I almost did not get to perform for Johnny Ace and The Office because it was basically it was just talent that had already had contracts. They were coming to evaluate them, and I didn't at the time. And nobody knew of this supposed quote-unquote cherry character because we hadn't told anybody. They come to me, you know, in the side, and they're like, we're putting this together, throwing it together. And Jimmy had told Danny and Al Snow, who was running the OVW at the time, about it, about me. And I remember being at Rip Rogers' class the night before. The office was coming Tuesday, and I was at Rip Rogers' class Monday night. And I'm on my way home, and Jimmy had left a message and said, there's a problem. Al and Danny won't let you come to the evaluation tomorrow. So I called Jimmy, and he said, I'm going to do whatever I can, because Clifo wasn't signed at the time either. So I had, you know, we just gone everywhere trying to find these, you know, the roller skates, not roller blades, but roller skates, and just kind of come up with what I was supposed to look like. We met two other times within that week and kind of cut promos and talked about stuff. And I had done all of this research, and I was allowed to come. So he says, just get ready, just be ready. I'm going to do everything I can to talk to Al and Danny tomorrow, and just be ready if I call you. So I ended up just kind of being disappointed, and all right, well, I tried and just didn't think it was going to work out. Well, lo and behold, Jimmy calls. He goes, get down here in 10 minutes. So I grab my stuff, and I'm running in, and everybody's already there. All the people contracted are there. Everybody. Ted DiBiase Sr. was an agent at the time, Dean Malenko, the writers, Krista Joseph, Michael Hayes, Johnny Ace, everybody was there, and I'm walking in late, but they don't know the situation. And Rip Rogers is there, and I'll never forget it, and he looks at me, and he just puts his head down, and he starts shaking his head, and I just didn't have the time to be like, Rip, this is the situation. I just ran in the girls' locker room, I threw my outfit on, and I go out to the arena, and I roller skate all the way to the other side of the arena, right to Jimmy and Cliff, and I'll never forget the look on everybody's faces. They were just, their mouths dropped, and they were like, what is that? Because nobody knew about this Deuce Domino and Cherry thing. And we wowed everybody that day, and it was just such an amazing day, and everybody got up and cut promos, and we had matches, and it was just going really well, and we had a match against the Highlanders, and didn't do anything crazy as far as me, just kind of being on the outside. And I remember we were all getting in front of the TV camera and cutting promos, and we were all in line, and I remember seeing Johnny whisper something in Cliff's ear, and he says, you guys need to go next. And Johnny went in the back and watched us on the TV monitor, and we cut our promo. And I was like, oh, my gosh, that's a good sign. And then we were just kind of waiting and waiting. And then we, you know, everybody did their thing. And they were getting ready to leave. And we went to say goodbye to everybody. And Johnny goes to Jimmy Jr. says, bring your gang in the office. And we went in the office. And I'm like, oh, my God, what's going on? What's going on? And instantly signed me and Cliff and said, we absolutely love it. You guys did a great job. And we're signing you. And we're signing you. And I just... I don't remember anything after that, to be honest with you. it was just so exciting. Like, I was there 4 months, and with God's graces, I can't believe I mean, there were people there for so much. Beth was there for so much longer than me, and, you know, look at her now, and it's just people worked so hard to get to something like that, and I couldn't believe it, that I'd actually made it. And Johnny didn't even know anything about me. He didn't even know that I'd been a wrestler and I was in Rip's class and I'd done all this. He goes, oh, and you can wrestle too, you know, like he didn't even know that. So it was just really, really exciting. And we had literally put the three of us together a day less than a week. Cliff and Jimmy had been working on their characters for a little while in the advanced class. But we literally came up with the name Cherry, like, within that week. It was either going to be Cherry or Sandy, and we didn't really like Sandy. And it was just put together, and I almost wasn't allowed to perform in front of the agents. And it was, like, so slim, close to none, that I was going to be able to be there. And then they told us we were going to debut on Raw that next Monday. So it was a Tuesday.
Wow.
We were flying out, and we were like, oh, my goodness, like, this is a whirlwind. And we ended up going to Raw, but they ended up not debuting us. They had other plans. We ended up going into developmental for a year. We debuted a year to the day that we got signed, which is weird, in Little Rock, Arkansas. And that was just a start of the big fun ride for us. So in a quick nutshell, that was kind of where I started from.
Wow.
No, independence all the way up to Louisville to WWE. So I was just very, very blessed, with being able to work hard and kind of achieving that, because, gosh, I don't know how many people worked hard and either never achieved it or finally achieved after so many years. I mean, I think Nick Dinsmore was in OVW for maybe 6 years before he got a contract. Don't quote me on that, but I know that he was there for quite some time. I'm super lucky to have been there in such a short time and getting signed. I'll just never forget that.
Now, you know, it seems like in some ways it was kind of a fluky situation that you go to a show and they kind of invite you to participate. So when you were a fan and when you were growing up watching wrestling, did you ever kind of envision yourself in wrestling? Did you ever stand in front of the mirror and cut a promo or develop a character? Or was it kind of a fluky situation that you kind of got into professional wrestling?
Kind of. Like, I never, growing up, I never knew the whole background of it. I just thought people were wrestlers. Like, I would, like, pose in the mirror because I just thought Elizabeth was just so gorgeous, and I loved her dresses, and she was so elegant and beautiful, and I would just kind of, like, try and do my hair and makeup like her, or get, like, secret, like, dresses and stuff like that, but I never thought you go to a wrestling school, you learn how to wrestle. Like, I never understood that part, and I mean, there weren't, like, computers back in the day that I had that you could just kind of Google stuff and figure it out. I just thought, like, they were just wrestlers. Like, I didn't know that there was a whole big, like, schooling behind it and wrestling families and when I was younger. So for me to think, oh, that I want to grow up and I want to do that, it was weird to me. I never put that together for some reason until I got a lot older, and then I was able, you know, I was such a fan, and then I started to meet all of these people. And then it was common that people did independent shows and stuff. And then I kind of learned what went on behind the scenes to become these people, to be able to be these talented entertainers. So as far as, like, thinking, oh, that's what I'm going to do when I grow up, no, I just kind of, like, I mean, I would cut a promo on my brother when, like, we would, like, pretend to wrestle and stuff like that, but I think I was more just kind of like trying to do my hair like Elizabeth and looking in the magazine and like seeing how she did her makeup and things like that, and just kind of wanted to be elegant like her. And so it's probably just that. I just think I'm blessed that I was able to achieve that, because I never thought in a million years I would be able to. So
what did your parents and your friends think when you got involved in wrestling?
They were excited. I actually didn't tell my parents that I was doing it first. And when I finally told them, I think they were relieved, because they probably thought I was doing something really illegal or wrong. because I got to a point where I was, you know, I was driving and I was doing stuff, but my parents were never really, okay, well, what time are you coming home? Where are you going? Who are you going with? They were never really like that once you got to a certain age. And I think they kind of sensed something, and then when I remember telling my mom at the dinner table, and you could see this sigh of relief that I was just doing something like that, and I showed her a video of one of the matches that I was managing or something. Sigh of relief that I wasn't, like, doing something really awful. And they were excited. I mean, they were a lot more excited. They weren't, like, big wrestling fans, so they were like, oh, okay, that's cool, that's great, yeah. But then when I got friends over to me, that was a completely different story. I think they were a little bit apprehensive of me just kind of picking up and leaving for it, because they really didn't understand it. They weren't wrestling fans like me and my brother were, but they weren't really wrestling fans, so they were a little apprehensive of me just kind of leaving. But then when I finally got signed, I never went away to school, so and I'm a person that likes her ducks in a row. I just kind of plan, and this is how it's going to go, and I'm just super organized. And pretty proactive and a little bit anal about it. So for me to step away that far away, my oldest sister was just more proud of me kind of going out on my own and figuring things out, which I'd never done before. Because I'd always had my family to kind of lean back on. And, you know, it was hard, but I, you know, I did it. But they were super excited. Because then they understood it now, you know, independence, you know, they went to the independent shows and that it was just more of a smaller venue. So I don't think that they understood it so much. I mean, our parents are a lot older, so, but when I got to WWE, oh my goodness, like they couldn't, my mom told the plumber that came to the house and was showing, oh my geez, mom, don't tell these people these things because you don't know who these people are. So they were super, they're super, super proud of me. So, and I'm happy. I'm glad I can make them proud.
Well, you know, most parents inspire their children to be doctors, lawyers, or professional wrestlers. It's probably in the top three, right? So.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't ever really knew what I wanted to do with my life. You know, I was never like, well, I want to be a teacher, or I want to be a doctor, or I want to be a lawyer, or a social therapist, or anything like that. Like, there was never anything, that one thing that stood out to me. So, for me to, you know, I guess it was maybe just that underlying thing. Maybe I always wanted to do that, and, you know, just kept gravitating towards that, so. You know, once I got older, I was like, yeah, this is what I want to do. So, yeah, so they were happy. You know, I was very successful. So, yeah, they were proud.
One thing we should mention, we probably should have mentioned this up front, but this is kind of exclusive because I don't think you did a lot of interviews after you left WWE, and we were actually honored that you contacted Gerwick.net to write a blog and kind of explain what happened. So we're really appreciative that you are kind of giving us this exclusive tonight.
Sure, sure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. OVW, of course, Danny Davis. Talk about Danny Davis, Rip Rogers. You were talking about Rip Rogers and his classes. Paul Heyman you worked with there, Mike Bucci, huh. Nova. Talk about some of the guys there and what the training was like and how quickly you because, I mean, you really came along very quickly and maybe some of the guys that helped you out to eventually get to World Wrestling Entertainment.
Sure. When I got signed, Paul was doing the TV, and not so soon after that, Al Snow was brought in. And so I didn't work with Paul that much. I think I worked with him maybe a month's worth of TV, or 4 weeks maybe, to my recollection. But Al came in, and I met Al a few times. Unattended shows and stuff, and Al's training is really where I understood wrestling, completely understood the psychology of it, completely understood wrestling, and I owe a lot to him to this day. It's just the psychology of it makes so much sense, and he just breaks it down to a certain point, and he was just a great help as far as training, as well as Danny. You know, Danny was just, he's there for any kind of advice, any kind of help. Great at TV, great at explaining TV angles and TV times and, you know, what's important when you're doing that kind of stuff on the, when they're shooting the TV show. Always an open door with Danny Davis. What a genuine, genuine guy that guy is. And any of the guys, as far as training, Al, definitely superior. We had Greg Gagne down there for a little while. Super great character. It was super fun to have Greg down there. But any of the guys, whether it was just Jimmy helping me or Idol Stevens helping or even Beth, just everybody just kind of had a hand in everybody's training. If you had a question, if you needed help, if you wanted to work on something, there were always people, Santino Marella, Pat Buck, they were just all super helpful in training. We all contributed. Like I said, we were just such a close family, and we had such a good time down there for building TV, too, because Greg Gagne and Al were the ones that wanted to build the feud between Deuce Domino and Cherry and Cody and Sean, which built for a while, and that was super exciting because we all had a hand in the pot in the creative process, and it went really, really well. That was a really good time as far as the creative process, because as anybody knows, when you're brought up to the main roster, you don't have so much say or, you know, you could put all your input in, but it definitely comes down to, you know, that one man that makes the final decision. So it's definitely a lot different as far as the TV times and storylines and stuff. We definitely had a lot more hands in the pot in OVW, and we all had contributed. So that feud was just so much fun. so many twists and turns and just so much fun. So we had a lot of good times. I know when Nova took over, Tommy Dreamer was head of developmental, and then he became just the main roster guy, and then Simon Dean, Nova, Mike Bucci, all those names you want to call them, he took over developmental. And as anybody has ever met Mike Bucci, he's the encyclopedia of wrestling history, and he took it very seriously and had us, he had us do a paper. The first project he had us do was a paper. He gave us 100 names of people in the business, and I'm not talking, you know, I'm not talking John Cena, but I'm talking like old school, like Honky Tonk Man and Woohoo McDaniel and Haystack Calhoun, 100 people, and he had to do a paper on it, and he gave us specific amount of time to get it done in, and he wanted to make sure that anybody in the developmental system knew their wrestling history, and he took it very, very seriously. And I remember me, Deuce Domino, and I did a paper, and it was 95 pages long, and I will never forget how hard it was to do that paper. But you know what? I still have it to this day, and I can always refer to it, and it was so hard to remember all of those people, because there were a lot of people I didn't even know. And you can't Google people. You can't find out. He wanted in-depth, detailed information. He didn't want anything from Wikipedia. We all know Wikipedia is not a legal document of information. Anybody can go on there and edit it. So Mike was very serious about that. He also gave us a project to read, Eddie Guerrero's book, and he tested us on it, which I was fine with because I read wrestling autobiographies to the cows come home. I've read so many, I can't even tell you. So that was fun for me, but he was definitely very serious about people knowing their wrestling history, because nowadays it's just a different industry as far as where they're pulling their talent from. So they're not pulling their talent from independent wrestling so much anymore, and not to anybody's fault of their own, but they may not know the history all the way back to, before the 80s, the different territories and stuff. They may not know that. So Mike Bucci definitely took a very, very hard time, or personal time, in kind of making sure everybody was educated about the business. And that was really enjoying to me, because I really enjoyed wrestling. I knew a lot about wrestling, and to even learn more through his teachings and through the projects he made us do. So I definitely have a newfound respect, way more than I ever had, going through the developmental system as well as WWE, from what I was definitely exposed to. I read books on my own, and I was able to talk to some of the people I met, like William Regal. I'd always been a huge fan of, and I was able to read his book and had a personal experience where I was on tour with him and able to sit down and discuss not only his book, but just life experiences. And what a guy to give me hours of his time to just let me pick his brain and just talk for hours. And it was just so exciting to be able to sit down one-on-one with someone I admired, someone I respected, and not only read his book, but able to ask him questions about it and ask him questions about his life, and not just wrestling, but personal stuff. So that stuff I love, and wrestling is still very much within my life, and I think about it every day, and I still constantly watch it, and I enjoy learning more about it every day. So going through wrestling and just kind of doing the drills that I learned in the developmental system and seeing Tough Enough go through those same drills, it's just, you really need to take everything that you can from it, especially if you really truly love it. Because if you don't, it's a super hard business to get through. So I learned a lot and still learning. So it was great having an opportunity to talk to these guys and allow them to absorb their knowledge as much as I could. So there's a lot of people that contributed to that.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, they just had the Cauliflower Alley annual meeting. You know, they honored a Honky Tonk Man, and Roddy Piper was there doing speeches, and Terry Funk, and all these great, Nick Bockwinkel was there. And, you know, it would probably be a great opportunity to send maybe some developmental guys to go attend something like that and, you know, go talk to the legends, see where they came from and how they paid their dues and how they sweat and how they bled. And because I think, as you said, or alluded to, that a lot of the younger students or upcoming independent people don't really know the history of wrestling, and they don't know which wrestlers have paved the way for them. And That'd be a great way to really get caught up. You mentioned wrestling books. That's another great way. You read the autobiographies. There's so many great wrestling books coming out. We just did the recap of the Road Warriors book with Road Warrior Animals. So, but what a great opportunity it is to interact with people you grew up watching and you idolize, and then all of a sudden they're telling you, giving you advice and maybe giving you pointers in the business. It's just got to be a thrill. I mean, I can't even really imagine. You know, I watched wrestling growing up, and to imagine that, you know, like Ric Flair is there, and you're talking to Ric Flair, all of a sudden you're like, wow, this is Ric Flair, you know? Wow.
Yeah. Oh,
go figure. Yeah. So
yeah.
it's got to be a tremendous rush. And while we're on the topic of
sorry.
Ric Flair, you wanted to mention an angle that that was kicked around with Ric Flair and Batista that never really came to see the day of light.
Yeah, we had I don't know if you remember, but there was a match that Batista and Deuce had, and it kind of corresponded around me, where, you know, anything that Deuce did really well, he would come over and blow him a kiss or what have you, and then like Batista kind of got over on Deuce, and then he started to blow me a kiss, and it was showed a little interest in Batista, and Deuce ended up losing the match, and, you know, Batista's flirting with me, and I kind of, like, flirted back with him, and, you know, the commentary said something like, oh, maybe she's an animal lover. So we ended up going on tour. It was at the Bangkok, Australia tour, and I had been friendly with the gentleman, you know, Dave and Rick before, and got to spend a lot of close time with everybody. I mean, you're on the plane for 24 hours. And to come to find out that at that following TV, they had called Vince overseas and had pitched this idea that they wanted to feud with Deuce and Domino and then end up doing this. They didn't tell me specifics, but end up me kind of leaving them because they treat me bad or something. But long story short, they ended up calling Vince about it and wanted to do this feud, but Vince ended up just kind of squeezing it down into just that one segment where the boys are supposed to have a tag match against Batista and Flair, because they were the tag champs at the time, and they couldn't find me, and Deuce is looking all around backstage, and someone says she went in that door, and it ends up being Batista's locker room, and Deuce is really, you know, heated and just goes in the locker room, and I come out, and I'm like, well, what are you mad about? And we end up going off, and Deuce is flipping his lid, and Batista comes down the hallway and opens the door, and Flair comes out. And it ended up being squeezed down into that one segment. You know, even the top guys could pitch something, but it's, you know, Vince's last call. But that's apparently what was told to me, was that they wanted to have a feud with the boys. And for the longest time I can remember, people constantly asked me where Flair was. That was such a good time. That backstage segment just really stuck out in a lot of the fans' minds, and I really wish we had an opportunity to run with it, because not only without that feud or with that feud, we just had so much more to offer Deuce, Domino, and Cherry. We did so much more in OVW, but there's only so much that's allotted, and, you know, we just didn't have that, you know, we had that opportunity, they just didn't go with it. I don't really know why, but I think the three of us definitely feel like we could have done a little bit more as a team. Doing stuff, but that was really exciting to hear that, you know, Dave and Rick were kind of on our side and want to kind of push something for us. So that was really exciting. I don't know if many people knew about that, but it ended up kind of just getting squeezed down into that one segment, so, which is still thrilling to have. So,
sure.
Those guys are great, so it was really great to work with them and just have that, still have people ask me, where's Flair? Where's Ric Flair? So it was fun.
Talk about when they called you up to the main roster, obviously you were under a developmental deal. Did you get a new deal? Do you get an exclusive WWE contract? Is that what they do? They switch you from a developmental deal to a talent contract?
Yeah. And I think that's what happens to everybody. Because we were in kind of transition. We were doing OVW, and we were doing live events and things like that and going to TV, so, which is super hard when you're kind of obligated to both sides. That was really hard, because then you're coming off the road, you're going right to TV, and then you're doing that again. So, they do give you a different contract than just being in developmental. And then after a certain amount of time, they release you from developmental, and then you're just strictly main roster. So everybody goes through that. I don't know what everybody's specific details are of their contracts, but that's a one-on-one thing with you in the office.
Talk about some of the people that were at OVW at the same time you worked. So you were telling me, like, Kelly and Crime Time were there and working with some of the people that eventually showed up on WWE television as well.
Yeah, we had, let's see, Santino Morella was there. Crime Time was there. Kelly, Maurice, Rosa Mendez was there. Alicia Fox. Beth was there, of course.
Right.
Aaron Stevens, Casey James. They were up there, the tag team, short period of time. Brent Albright, who was, what was his name on TV? Gunner Scott. He was brought
right.
up for a little while. The Spirit Squad, of course. CM Punk was there with us for a little while. Trying to think.
That's interesting because obviously the Spirit Squad, Mike Bondo, is the current champion of OVW. So he's actually back to OVW now. So go figure, right?
Yeah. Then we Joey Murphy was there when he came back. He was there for a little while. So towards the end of us being there, he had did a feud with Jack Bull. So he was there for a little while working TVs. So Joey Murphy was there. I hope I'm not offending anybody. I forgot anybody. Katie Lee was there.
Who's now Winter in TNA.
Winter in TNA.
Yep.
She was there.
Right.
ODB was there, who was in TNA.
Right.
Serena from Straight Edge Society, she was there. I worked a lot with Serena. That's a really talented wrestler, too. She's awesome. I hope I'm not forgetting anybody.
No, another person that's back
there. There's a lot of people.
Another person that's back there now is Cliff Compton.
Yes, he is. I talk to Cliff frequently, actually. He's doing really good. He's enjoying his time there.
Yeah, he was the OVW champion. I believe Mike Mondo just took the title from him. So.
Yes, he did.
So there you go. That's what's currently going on in OVW, if you're everyone who's going on Louisville now. So.
Yeah, and Cornette's back at OVW, too. So.
Yeah.
And Cliff has a great relationship with Cornette, too. So that's good. I'm glad Cliff's doing really well, and he's happy.
How is Deuce doing these days?
He's out in Arizona with his family. He's doing really well from what I hear. I haven't spoken to him. He's very busy. So he's out in Arizona, and from what I know is they're taking bookings. I don't know. I think they're wrestling. They're doing more conventions, to what I understand. Excuse me. They're doing more conventions. So they're doing well. They're happy.
Talk about being on the road and, you know, the constant, you're not home very often, you're expected to, you know, eat well, train, you know, stay in shape.
Yeah.
I don't think sometimes people really understand how hard that really is.
It's really hard, and, I mean, as a woman, it's even harder. just traveling and constantly, because us girls just have so much stuff, and to have to pack it, unpack it, do our hair, shower. You know, a guy can just run into the gym, you know, run out, shower. You can get the makeup on and, you know, carry all these different outfits because you don't know what they're going to have you do that day, and you need to make sure that you have backup. It's pretty tough. And then, you know, traveling from one town to the next, like, should we move on? Should we stay? It was tough, but I was lucky enough to be on the road with Natalia, and she's a crack up. She's my best friend, and we were just allies to each other, and it was so nice to have someone you're that close to be able to be on the road with. And we had a lot of fun, and we made it fun. You know, it's really tough to, you know, we made sure we got in our workouts, we moved on, and I'm a planner just like she is. I spent my Thursdays just seeing what towns we were going to, and I would plan the hotels, I would plan the cars, I would, all right, well, we're going to move on here, but this time we're going to stay, and, you know, we were very much alike, and it worked out well, because I don't think if you have people that you don't, are similar like, and you don't have the same habits, then it's not going to work out so well. But me and Natty worked are best friends, and we just have the same kind of lifestyle. We just like to know, we have a bed to lay our head in, and we know where we're going and how to get there. And, you know, okay, well, the gym's in this town, and we'll get the hotel, and it's 5 minutes from the gym. And, you know, we leaned on each other. It's definitely super hard. I know personally I slept better in hotel bedrooms than I did in my own bed. And you just never unpack your suitcase. You take your dirty clothes out, you leave your hair dryer in there, your makeup in your suitcase, and you just kind of keep moving. Because sometimes you're not home for a whole month, depending on what kind of schedule you have. So it's pretty tough to do that, and you miss a lot. I miss my sister's first baby shower, which I planned and put together. But it happens, you know. You sacrifice a lot to live a dream, and I don't regret it. You know, missing family functions is hard, but definitely had a great opportunity and met great people and have, you know, had a best friend to travel with, so I can't complain.
What is the real Vince McMahon? We always like to ask the people that work for WWE, what is Vince McMahon really like?
Oh, I've never had a problem with him. He was always such a gentleman to me. If I ever wanted to talk to him about anything, he always had time for me. You know, he's a businessman. And if he ever, you know, people think like, oh, he's got to be so mean, he's got to be this and that. And I never saw that side of him. You know, he takes pride in his company, and he should. He's a billionaire. But he's always been an ultimate professional man. Anytime I've ever seen him or had the opportunity to sit down and talk with him. So I've had great experiences with him.
Does he ever sleep?
I wonder. From what I hear, he's never had a vacation, which, oh, gosh, he has to take a break sometimes. But I don't know. I don't know if that's the case or not. I sure hope he does, because, you know, he's got a lot weighing on his shoulders, so I hope he gets some downtime and gets a rest. But I'm sure he probably prefers not to.
What was your thought on Linda McMahon running for the U.S. Senate?
I think she's a great woman. I think she had a great opportunity to do so, and I think she would have been great if she did win it. I don't know much about the Senate stuff, but she was always a constant businesswoman when I was around her, and was a really genuine lady. So. I don't know much about, like, that kind of, like, running for office and stuff like that, so I can't really comment too much about it.
Talk a little bit about Vicky Guerrero. Obviously, she seems like she's, like, the ultimate heat magnet. What is Vicky Guerrero like behind the scenes? Because we've really kind of seen her character develop into, you know, a very strong heel that, you know, excuse me, and, I mean, everybody just hates her. So what is she really like in real life?
Oh, my goodness, she's such a sweet woman. She's such a sweet woman and friend and mother. Always, even if it wasn't wrestling related or anything, I could always go to Vicky and ask her for advice or just talk with her. It was always comforting to just have that mother figure in the locker room. You know, sometimes you just need that feeling of having someone genuinely there that you can just kind of lean on if you needed to. And, you know, she took her job really, really seriously and did a great job with it. You know, she knows her lines and she knows her promos and she just knows how to talk, and, you know, she just knows her wrestling business, and there's utter respect for her. She's just a wonderful woman.
You kind of, when you showed up in WWE, you were on the heel side, and then they moved you to the babyface side. Kind of talk about the difference between working babyface and heel.
Well, Cherry was kind of always a babyface, especially when we were in OVW. It was kind of the guys were the heels, and then I was the babyface kind of. Well, I liked, you know, my boyfriend and my brother, like, having fights. I liked that side of me, but I never really wanted to get involved, and I was just kind of, like, the babyface. And I don't think that really came across to the WWE audience. We didn't really have that kind of character development as far
right.
as that. I don't know if they necessarily wanted me to be a babyface, per se. When I was with the boys and when I kind of split off with them with the Diva competition, that definitely came out more because I think at heart I always felt like Cherry was a baby face, just kind of the way that we had ultimately evolved into and developed into. And I think that just came out naturally as far as when the Diva competition came out. So, but I liked the depth of Cherry as far as, you know, the boys would fight and I would cheer them on and, you know, kick this guy's butt or, you know, beat this guy down, but never really wanted to get my hands involved. I was too scared. So I kind of like playing both sides of the fence a little bit. I wish I could have portrayed that a little bit more when I was with the boys, that maybe I could have been, like, a little bit more of the baby face side. But I didn't really do much as far as managing with them, which is a little disappointing. I never really got to use the skate. You know, I would take the skate off all the time and hit people with it, and the boys would hit people with it. And so I definitely wish that we were able to do a little bit more. And I really didn't do much as a manager. I think when I was wrestling, I was able to do a little bit more. And still, I was still trying to protect my character. I didn't want to come out and say, hey, all of a sudden Cherry's doing, you know, moonsaults and hurling from Ranas. I can do that, but it just didn't make sense. Like, I'm scared that Natalia's going to kick my butt, and I'm crying in matches with Victoria, and then all of a sudden I'm doing these high-flying moves. I just wanted to protect myself. So I never really put it out there full force of what I was able to do. And I think that's where people got confused, was that, you know, oh, she couldn't do much. Well, I could, though. And it just, psychology, the way I was trained in OVW and just through all these people that I had experiences with, it wouldn't make any sense to me. Nor did they ask me to do those things. You know, they weren't like, well, yeah, you need to do this and that. But, you know, I think that I personally took personal responsibility over not kind of going all crazy out there. But, and, you know, hindsight is 2020. Maybe I should have, you know. You look at Tough Enough now, and that one gentleman got eliminated because he had an opportunity to expose what he was able to do, and he didn't. So, I mean, hindsight is 2020, so you don't know. I mean, I can do all of those things, and I can wrestle. I think I was just a little bit more protecting my character at that point. So that's that.
I think it was an episode of SmackDown. They did the swimsuit competition. So I think after that, obviously, they were moving you towards a babyface direction. And then, of course, you were feuding with, Victoria Maurice at that time as well. So it seemed like they were going to kind of pushing you as a babyface in that direction. And I think you got over, you know, really well. And then I was one that was very surprised to hear that, they had released you. And
me,
I guess a lot of wrestling fans are probably still, even to this day, you know, what happened, why they let you go, what can you say about your release?
They were letting a lot of people go at that time. The economy was really, really awful. I think there was 2 weeks of that really just kind of releasing people. Cliff had gotten let go the week prior to me. And they had let, I don't know if they even last year let as many people go as they did the year that I got released. The economy was pretty, pretty bad. And so I was let go for budget cuts. So regardless of what anybody else may think, I know what was discussed with me, and that was what was discussed with me. It was budget cuts. So I don't care what anybody else wants to say or what anybody else wants to think. So that's that, and I believe that. So I've been up to the couple of events, and I've gotten nothing but open arms from everybody. So I've made friends, I've kept friends, and that's just kind of the person I am. You know, I don't rub anybody the wrong way, and I tend to make friends with people. So that's just how I am. So that's how I was released, regardless of what people want to say or think.
I can verify you're a very easy person to talk to, because we've been talking for we talked before the interview, and we've been talking through this interview, and you're just a very easygoing person and very easy to talk to, so I can see why you'd have so many friends in the business. So you're very approachable, and this is, you know, we've really enjoyed having you here for this interview.
Thank you very much, Steve.
I want to ask you couple more quick ones. You are part of the alumni. How does it feel to be a part of the alumni page on WWE.com?
I'm very proud of that. That means a whole lot to me. You know, looking back on it, I don't think I was there that long, but to be able to be acknowledged in that way is really, really great to know. really great to be in there because I do, I cherish my time there, I cherish my friends there, and I cherish what I was able to contribute while I was there. And to know that it's appreciated in the same is a great feeling.
What does the future hold for you, and where do you want to go with your career at this point?
I'm not really sure. I truly miss it. I think about it all the time. I watch it all the time. I still read my books. You know, I'll find myself at, you know, on a daily basis, like, putting a match together in my head, oddly enough. I'm still friends with a lot of people. You know, I see Natty probably every other week now that I live here in Tampa. I talk to Beth all the time. She's a wonderful person. I still have a lot of friends, you know. So I don't know, but I know it's in my heart. So, you know, one of these days, hopefully I'll be able to make another appearance somehow, whether it's conventions, independent shows, WWE TV, who knows, any kind of wrestling venue or outlet.
Are you kind of keeping that option open in case they would call you back? They say, hey.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. I did, when they did the Battle Royal, the Diva Battle Royal.
Right.
I got a phone call for that. So,
okay, so.
Then a fan of filling roster, which is a nice feeling because I know I left on good terms enough that they would call me back. So I'm happy with that.
One thing we want to make crystal clear too, Kara is not on any of the social media. So if you see Cherry or Kara Slice, she's not on Twitter, she's not on MySpace, and she's not on Facebook.
I am not. Please understand that. So the people that are posing as me and saying all of these things, it is not me. I was not hanging out with Undertaker's kids. I did not just have a baby girl. These are completely untrue. So these people that are saying it, whether they want to put WWE Cherry, WWE Kara, quotes Cherry, however they're writing it, I don't even go on there. I can't even log into Facebook or MySpace. It's not me. Please just understand that, people. So if you're corresponding with these people, please don't understand anything. Please don't take anything that they're saying because it's truly not me.
But there are, you know, on the other hand, there are some fan sites out there. So there's been sites that are like kind of dedicated to you. So people just have to be
but
careful.
But they're not posing as me. That's where the problem
right.
is, people posing as
sure.
me. Now, I'm very grateful for anybody that wants to put a fan site on me or YouTube videos or something. Like, you know, that's very, very appreciative, and I truly enjoy those things because that was a great time in my life. So I'm happy that other people enjoyed it just as much as I did to even put something up as a fan site or a great, you know, YouTube video or something.
If you want news about Cherry, anything that breaks, you can know you'll get it at girlwick.net. So stay tuned for girlwick.net for all your wrestling news. So obviously, we've really enjoyed the time tonight with Cherry. We want to thank you, and we want to wish you all the best of luck in everything that you want to do and that you will eventually do. We hope, if nothing else, we see you somewhere down the line and maybe in a wrestling ring again.
Great. Thank you so much, Steve. And everybody check out Gerwick.net for all your up-to-date news on wrestling information.